Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 262 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is Lauren Boyd. Lauren is an attorney and business owner in the Phoenix, Arizona area. And to say that Lauren is busy and active in the entrepreneurial community is an understatement. She has a law practice. She has got another business tangential to that law practice that supports the law practice. She has a podcast, very popular podcast, and a very popular blog. And she's busy doing all things related to entrepreneurial business owners. And she's got some really interesting ideas about branding and about how to position yourself to support clients in a way that's natural and fitting to what the clients are looking for, not necessarily what we as attorneys would like to force upon them, so to speak. She has a goal of reducing her work week down to 3 days a week. She's currently at 4 days a week, so I think that's within sight. So there's a lot to be learned from Lauren Boyd, and I hope you enjoy this discussion with her. So without any further delay, here is Lauren Boyd. Lauren Boyd, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
I'm so honored to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled to have you with us today, Lauren. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Well, I actually never thought I would become a lawyer, which I feel like is not the traditional like opening that you probably hear on your podcast.
Yeah, you have those folks that say, I knew I wanted to be an attorney right from the very beginning because I like to argue a lot.
I mean, I should have known from an early age, I've always been quite nosy. So, I mean, maybe this did work out in my favor, but that was not my story. I actually went to college and got dual degrees in finance and entrepreneurship. And during my entrepreneurship program, which was a wonderful program at the McGuire Center in Arizona, and they actually had third year mock legal counsel for us. The third year students came over and they were overseeing these business ventures that we were developing. Hmm. And that's what sparked my interest. And I think I was, you know, wanting to pursue, you know, a graduate degree of some kind, felt a little bit burned out on maybe pursuing an MBA. And I said, you know what? I think I'm gonna apply to law school. We'll see if I get in and we'll go from there. So I actually applied for early admission and got in. And I just really, when I was in law school, I just really focused on business law. I think I immediately knew that I wanted to merge my two passions.
I'm stunned that there was an opportunity to get a degree in entrepreneurship. Seems to me that's rare.
It is. And they actually have a wonderful program. It's one of the top in the country. I went to the college at U of A, and we have the Eller College of Management. And I always knew I wanted to do finance. And I always knew that I wanted to apply to get into this entrepreneurship program. It was something you had to apply for, do a project to get in. And I was really hoping that was going to be something that I was going to be able to do, because they have a well-developed program. It actually involves a bunch of VCs. We do a lot of presentations. Mm-hmm. You work on a team and you develop everything from the financial modeling to then presenting your idea to venture capitalists. So it was a very intensive program and I loved every minute of it. And it actually, I mean, led to some degree, I guess, to having my own practice, but it also led for me actually going to law school, because I don't think that I knew that was going to be in the cards.
Well, it sounds really like a perfect marriage of your interests. When you finished law school, Do you go into big law for a little bit, or did you open your own practice straight off, or what was your career path like in the legal space?
So I think I always knew having my own firm was in the cards. It was not a matter of if, but when.
Yeah, I would suspect so. Having gone to gotten a degree in entrepreneurship, but.
But I definitely wanted to get the experience, and right. I wanted to be part of a team and really learn, you know, learn from others that were more experienced from me. Because I mean, you say it so well on your podcast that we're not really truly set up, I believe, to start our own practice like day one out of law school. They don't teach us that. So I actually went in-house and I worked at a Fortune 100 company as in-house counsel. I traveled, I negotiated international contracts. My first business trip was to Hawaii. I really
left this job.
I know. I felt like I was really living the life. But you know what? Central, you know, to everything that I've always kind of thought about when it comes to my career is wanting the flexibility. I've always wanted to have the, you know, professional independence. I've always wanted to have, you know, freedom of time. I grew up in an entrepreneurial household and my parents were always around. Despite whatever they were doing, I always felt like I could reach out to them. And so I've always wanted to model that as I developed my own family. And I felt like being very intentional with my career was something that I've always considered if it would get me to the place where I would have that freedom to design my own schedule.
Well, so now the palette is wide open for you. You got this dual undergrad degree, finance and entrepreneurship. You've added a legal degree with maybe a concentration in business law. You go to work in-house counsel. You're set up to do pretty much whatever you want to do. What made you choose the direction you ended up going?
So I actually was sitting across from my, at the time, boyfriend, now husband, and I had just gotten a promotion, maybe like 6 months in, and I thought that was going to solve all the headaches of the things that I wasn't loving about the job, you know. And I think for the reality is I've always been very good on my own, very independent. And so being in kind of this big corporate atmosphere was just really not the place for me. And I thought, oh, this promotion, like this is going to do it. You know, I'm going to feel really great in this position. I was reporting, actually, it was even more merging my finance background, working with the CFO. And it was a wonderful opportunity, but I was like, there's just something that's missing. So I was sitting across from dinner from my then boyfriend and, you know, I was telling him how I want to give up my really comfortable salary and quit my job and start my own firm. And he was like, I think you should do it. So then I married him, obviously.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Because you don't have that conversation with your spouse. You have that conversation, you know, before you're married, because it's a little easier to swallow, I think, but go ahead.
Yeah. So we actually, you know, I had owned my own house, you know, and since that point, we took everything kind of like a team aspect, and he, you know, was super helpful and, you know, inspiring me to go ahead and start my own firm and was a big support. And I honestly just circled a date on my calendar, put my notice in. When I was done, I actually just opened up my computer the following Monday and was like, all right, here we go. I guess we'll find some clients.
Now, you did not start as the law offices of Lauren Boyd.
I did not.
You had a very intentional and specific charge.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that.
So I actually really felt like what was missing in the entrepreneurial community here in Arizona was this approachable legal advice. And I, you know, knew a lot of not only female entrepreneurs, but just, you know, fresh family startups that, you know, law is really intimidating. And instead I wanted to make it empowering. I wanted to make it really feel approachable. So I actually launched my firm under the name Guide My Business. And I wanted it, A, to be clear that I was not going to help them with their divorce. I thought that was very intentional. Mm-hmm. They knew, because I think people always assume we can do a little bit of everything. So I thought that would really help make sure that people knew exactly what my focus was, but also make it a lot more comfortable. and, you know, give us room to grow without feeling like we had to, you know, change our name or, you know, add letters or name, last names behind it. I just really wanted something that felt approachable to the everyday entrepreneur.
And it's interesting because you did a branding right off the get-go about what it is you wanted to do and who you wanted to attract. And it speaks to a marketing savviness that I think we come by pretty difficultly. That's not even a real sentence, Neil. It's difficult for us to grasp that the whole concept of how to develop an approach to marketing and branding in the legal space. And because of your background, you set out and got that done, you know, straight off the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't say my website development skills are all that great. But yeah, I mean, I actually have designed all of my own logos because I think I am just a little too type A and a little picky. I just have something in my mind. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's nice to remember that not all of this is a science, that sometimes it's just what feels really good. And to me, you know, making something approachable for the everyday entrepreneur, Guide My Business, it was easy for them to understand, easy to remember. And, you know, it really helped when I had to change my name. So, you know, didn't have to go through that hassle with the name of my law firm, at least.
And I think it's really great because it says something about what you do and who you are. And that's hard to convey when you're the law offices of Neil Tyra.
Right.
You know, so what kind of clients are you working with and how have you gone about in attracting those clients, continuing to market to them, and how do they work with you?
So there's been several iterations of my firm through the time that I've launched it. So, you know, initially I thought, you know, the flat rates was the way to go. And right. I started doing that. And I found truly that it was not as profitable and didn't quite bring in the right client. I think a flat rate brought in a client that was, you know, a one-off project.
Transactional.
Very transactional. And what I wanted my firm to be was more relationship-based. So I actually, until this past year, had a membership focus as part of, you know, my law firm. But to be honest, it was almost too successful that we had to scale it back because all of the people that had signed up for, you know, a certain amount of hours were well over those hours every month. And it just didn't quite make sense anymore for where our firm was at. So the only thing we do flat rates is trademarks. Other than that, everything is hourly and we focus on a lot of transparency with our clients. That's the one thing that's never changed. So they actually have access to a client portal where they see their current invoice, the files that we're working on, they can schedule a phone call. And I think that level of transparency was actually what people were looking for. The membership was just kind of a perk and a way to kind of ease people in. And I think for me, when I first started the firm, it gave me that reassurance that I was going to have some reoccurring revenue. When I got to the point that I didn't need to count on a certain amount of revenue every month, I felt like I could, you know, step away from that. And I actually had clients like beg me to stay. They were like, I know you're not going to do that anymore. Are you going to stay? Can I still work with you? How can I work with you?
Yeah.
And that was really nice to know that we built such a nice relationship of trust.
Well, you know, the subscription model or the, you know, membership model, I think works in a lot of ways for a lot of folks, but you're right. It's a little hard to throttle the amount of time devoted under that subscription. Mm-hmm. And so it provides a cost certainty to the client. And as you said, a revenue certainty to you as the law firm. But what you can't always determine is this month that client needs 100 hours of my time. I don't have 100 hours or we don't have enough people to provide 100 hours. So it creates its own kind of challenges and problems.
Yeah. And I think, you know, for me, what I was recognizing was, you know, as our firm steps, you know, even further into, you know, virtual, we're 4 days a week. You know, I figured I get to set the rules and I think 4 days a week sounds pretty dang good. And so that's kind of how we structured our firm. And it felt like there was a mindset block with a membership and a subscription model, despite the fact that they may have, you know, now gone past their hours, you know, that they're kind of guaranteed every month. There was this level of, they felt entitled to my time. That was something that I'll note for anyone that's, you know, considering or in a subscription model. And I think there's also a mental block for a lot of entrepreneurs because they kind of budget that number and nothing more. But I'm sure everyone on here, you know, can recognize that at times that's just not going to do the current issue or matter at hand justice. And I think getting past that for someone that realizes that legal is going to kind of be, you know, a wave, we're going to, you know, there'll be busy times and then there'll be times that, you know, they're just, you know, they don't need me as much and that's all okay. So, you know, I think it has its place and it was a great opportunity for my firm at the time that we needed it. But I think myself and my clients had kind of grown past that point. And so we just, you know, constantly looked at what our offerings are and how they serve our ideal client. And, you know, if it's not aligning, we're not afraid to make changes.
I think that it's fabulous that you're able to pivot in your pricing model based on, you know, the reality of where you are. And we sometimes become so slavishly committed to one approach or the other. You know, the new legal trend report says not everybody, clients all want flat fee. So everybody rushes to do a flat fee, but maybe they're not set up well enough that they can do so profitably. Or everybody wants to do subscriptions, and that's the way the delivery of legal services should go. Well, it has its own challenges. So I think you have to look at all these models and figure out what's the best approach for how you work and what you want your firm to be.
Yeah, exactly. And I think there's no one way to do it.
No.
You know, though I like to buck tradition, I believe that I've settled right back into it because, you know, hourly, truly, my focus is relationships. And so with me, I found that hourly is the way that I feel like I can give them all the time that they feel like they need. There's no mental blocks. And it's just worked beautifully for our firm. In this season, that's where we're at.
And just as an aside, I spoke to somebody recently who really aspired to turn the calendar upside down and work 2 days a week.
Love
and
it.
Have 5 days of weekend. That was their aspiration. So,
yeah. And so, you know what? And I think that that's a beautiful thing to realize that we, you know, we don't have to, you know, to be successful or to have the right clients. Like my clients don't mind that I work 4 days a week. And if they do, they haven't said anything. But, you know, my goal is to get down to 3 days a week.
Yeah.
You know, have a team that values that schedule as opposed to, you know, more of kind of the traditional grind that we're all used to.
Today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur is brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. For many years, marketing companies have focused on funnels that run for a short time, often leaving dozens of leads behind that didn't make a decision yet. Spotlight Branding has found a better way. It's called a content loop, and it's changing the way attorneys think about their marketing. This system nurtures your leads in perpetuity, with quality evergreen content that elevates your credibility and helps the rest of your marketing actually work. If you're interested in learning more, head over to spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, to learn more about the content loop and how it can revolutionize your law firm's marketing. Spotlight Branding, more referrals, better clients, higher return on investment. Now, if you've been a listener of this podcast for any time, you know that I sing the praises of Ruby all the time because they're really responsible in my own practice for helping me grow my business, deliver personalized experience to my clients, you know, building customer loyalty, really, in terms of having a consistent front-facing office partner in Ruby, and allows me to stay connected anywhere, anytime to my business through their services. So I can't say enough about Ruby. I'm delighted to have them and continue to have them as a sponsor of this podcast. And this episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Daylight, the all-in-one contact relationship manager, or CRM. I've been using Daylight for well over 10 years now, and it's the best CRM for business on the Mac and iPhone. And despite having a case management platform that I'm very happy with, I still use Daylight to handle all of my many other law firm needs. When you're running your own law firm, it can be difficult to stay on top of follow-ups, keep track of details and communication, and stay aware of what needs to be done next on each project. Daylight organizes everything in one place, so you don't have to rely on your memory to keep it all straight. If you're feeling like it's time to upgrade from spreadsheets to a CRM, check out Daylight. You can download it from the App Store or visit www.marketcircle.com and try it free for 30 days. On top of that, you can get your first month free when you tell them you heard about Daylight here on The Law Entrepreneur. Daylight by Market Circle, staying top of mind without the stress. So how do you go about getting all these clients then?
So for me, it's at the start.
You said relationships, right?
Yeah. A lot of it was going out there and building relationships. You know, I was in the corporate bubble, which I like to call it. So, you know, I didn't really have roots in my community. And I think that's one of the reasons that I decided to leave corporate, because I wanted to feel like I was a part of my community and really grow roots. So I specifically went out and reached out to women, you know, entrepreneurship, you know, networking communities.
Back when and we could do that.
Back when we could do that. And so I got myself like really immersed. And I think my biggest tip when it came to networking was just continue to show up. I wasn't, you know, it wasn't like a buffet where I would try one out one time and then never go back. I really committed to a few communities and became more of a resource within those communities and, you know, a mentor, and people, you know, were familiar with me. Because I think something we forget is we always want the immediacy of our marketing efforts. You know, we want to meet someone and have them hire us immediately. But I think, you know, especially in the entrepreneurship world, and probably in a lot across, you know, a lot of practices in law, is they don't always need you in the moment you meet them. So starting to really build the roots and the relationships, and then starting to really focus a lot on our customer journey so that we have, you know, really thriving referrals. And I'll be honest, almost all of our connections truly are from what I believe is referrals. We do have some people that come from Instagram, and, you know, we use Instagram as just a platform for service. We look for every avenue that we can pour into people and serve. And then I truly do believe that that comes back in return when they need support, because they feel like they've created some type of relationship with us. And there's that like, know, and trust.
Is your referral marketing strategy, is it systematized or is it just part of the culture of who you are and what you do?
I think it's both. Okay. So I am a huge fan of workflows. We are very workflow heavy, and we believe in a lot of touch points with our clients. So we don't do all of those like one-off. Not every message is unique. I actually believe that there is a beauty in a canned message, because we actually are allowing ourselves to commit to giving every client the same experience. And it's not going to be limited because you're about to run to a meeting. If you create canned messages and workflows, you're actually able to onboard and touch base with clients in a very systemized way. They're getting the best information from you every time. So our onboarding process, we're very intentional about our messages and our emails and how we bring people into the culture and how we touch base with them. So I think it has to be twofold, because having a culture can be idealistic sometimes because we get busy and life comes up. So I think having systems to lean on to make sure that stays in place is really important. And then we also have someone on our team that is literally just a client management touch point. She makes sure that everything is moving along according to our internal pace and, you know, that we're following up and checking in with our clients. So we're putting, you know, a priority on our communications with our clients. So by the time they're done, whether they wish they were talking to us or not, right? Because not every time they come to us is in the best circumstances, but we really try to create, you know, a positive environment and make them feel really comfortable when they're with us.
Well, speaking about your team, tell us about your team. How are you organized?
So we have technically two assistants right now, one that focuses primarily on just serving our clients and making sure that she's kind of our project manager. Mm-hmm. The other one is an executive assistant that, you know, does all of the things. And she really focuses more on our PR, our marketing efforts, and kind of all of the things that go along with our podcast, our blogs, you know, all of the ways that we're serving on a daily basis. So she really manages all of those efforts. And then we have someone of counsel that, you know, actually supports our team primarily with trademarks, but we are actually expanding our team. Okay. And I think that that is the most exciting thing. We're actually bringing on two associates. And the way that I developed these positions was actually out of the place from what I want. And I'm, you know, kind of projecting that onto, you know, the team culture. So no one works a full 5 days a week on my team. We, at most, they work 4.5. You know, they're off by noon on Friday. But when it's coming to an associate, we're actually looking for two women that want to work part-time, because my ideal candidate is actually a mom that wants to be home and present with her family. And I want to provide the ability for them to have some professional independence, really, you know, serve and use their law degree and their passion, but also be super present and not be in a place where it's looked down on to, you know, need to be working less.
Well, I mean, I think you're going to find a lot of opportunity for that. There's going to be a lot of folks who would gravitate to something like that. What are the tools? What are the special sauce that keeps your firm running smoothly?
So we've actually tried out a few different resources. We started with Clio, and nothing against Clio, wonderful platform. We actually are now using Dubsado. And the funny thing about Dubsado is it's very much a creative platform. It's not traditional, I would say, for law, but it has all the bells and whistles, the time tracking, the, you know, all of kind of the delegation for our team, all of those elements. But what I loved about it was the way that the client portal was built out. Because, you know, like I've mentioned before, transparency is something that we really infuse into our relationship with our clients. And they have a beautiful client portal that allows them to see project boards, you know, reach out and, you know, they can download any of the things that we've worked on in their client files, schedule appointments, view their, you know, all of their invoices at any time. And I think that level of transparency has really been key for the relationships we've built with our clientele. And so, you know, though it was not the traditional tool, that's been one of our favorites.
It's interesting that you say Dubsado, because be honest with you, I had not heard of Dubsado until very recently. And now everywhere I look, every attorney I look at is using it.
Yeah. You know what? I think
it's crazy.
There's so many incredible tools out there that I think thinking we need to be on an only legal specific platform can be limiting. You know, maybe they're not keeping up with the pace. And, you know, I think my clients, you know, a lot of them are more in that space where they're using, you know, Dubsado and the tools. And I think they like to see that I'm modeling the same stuff. And then, of course, you know, it's the traditional email documents, you know, all of that stuff. But, you know, we try to utilize ClickUp, and that's the other resource we use for delegation, kind of for outside tasks, outside of like our client management. And that's been a wonderful resource because there's so many ways that you can use that. And it allows every one of our team members to view the same list in multiple ways, whether it's a timeline, a Gantt chart. There's so many ways that people can view things, which I think is, you know, is working towards everyone's strengths, you know, however they see things.
Tell me a little bit about how you do your billing. Are you doing that in Dubsado?
We do our billing in Dubsado. We are predominantly credit card. We do have a few clients that love a good check. We know who they are, and we bill them a little bit differently. But we actually start, we don't do a big retainer. We don't do any of that. We actually just start with billing them for their first hour when they're an hourly service. And then that's applied against their invoice to get started. We find that we use that pretty quickly, and it allows us to get their credit card on file. So we use that system in, you know, combined with Stripe to handle really all of our payments. And the nice thing about it is, you know, we're very intentional in our engagement letters to say that if they get busy and they're 3 days past due on an invoice, we'll go ahead and automatically charge their credit card. And we don't do that from, you know, an ill place of worried that not we're not going to collect from our clients, but sometimes our clients just truly are busy and they don't think about it. So I think sometimes they just know we're going to charge them anyway. And so they kind of just like, okay, yeah, that'll come out in a couple of days.
Do you have any issues with compliance and managing your IALTA accounts this way or?
No. So we've been really, you know, we've of course worked with our accountant to really develop a good system and making sure that we're tracking, you know, what is paid in ahead of time and then applying that against, you know, as we continue to work. But we find that, you know, using Dubsado and using all the tools inside one platform allows us to follow up with them. It takes the burden off of, you know, trying to piece together multiple systems, and then actually it flows right into our QuickBooks. So it all works out really nicely. But I would definitely say have a good accountant on your team that can support you and make sure that you're thinking of everything, because there's a lot of things to consider.
Well, speaking of thinking of everything, there's a great segue because throughout this whole journey of yours, you ultimately also spun off another type of venture, commoditizing some of the legal products that you developed for your clients. So talk to us about Legally Aligned.
Yeah. So we actually launched a contract template platform. And the reason that we did that was because sometimes that there's just time constraints. So they don't want to work, you know, work with their team. We're very specific. I really only work one-on-one with hourly services with Arizona clients. I really believe that there is some power in niching down and not trying to be and serve everyone. I don't want to get into the politics of, you know, serving out-of-state clients, but we are, I would say, a lot more conservative when it comes to, you know, who we do and don't work with. For trademarks, of course, we serve, you know, a wider audience, but we found that there was a lot of people that would reach out to us because they liked our information, they liked the podcast, and they wanted to know where to get resources. And though I love to give referrals, I think some people, you know, really do feel comfortable with our team. And so we've worked really diligently to put together some contracts, and we do essentially, it's, gosh, we all have over 20 contract templates in our site now. And it's probably our most used contract templates, predominantly for, you know, the online entrepreneur, especially coaches and those in, you know, the event space as well. You know, anyone who's doing affiliate marketing or influencer marketing, really some of those, I would say, non-traditional needs inside the legal community that if you went to just any lawyer and you said, I need an affiliate agreement, they're going to say, what? What do you need?
Well, listen, I have personal experience with that. I just rolled my own affiliate agreement.
Oh, there you go.
See, and had I spent a little more time investigating, I would have seen that you have right here, I'm looking right at it. But there's also a lot of other products here that I think attorneys would, not just ones that are in the coaching or the entrepreneurial space, but we had the affiliate agreement as we mentioned, but there was an operating agreement. There's a podcast guest agreement, which is pretty good. Testimonial release, virtual assistant agreement. There's a lot of very specific and very useful products here. I'm assuming this was well received, and obviously you wouldn't be doing it if it wasn't.
Yeah, you know, it has been very well received. And I will say, especially for anyone who's also considering contract templates, I think that there is room enough for everybody. And it's been a wonderful resource for our team, because sometimes a client comes to us and that's really their price point. They're more at the DIY stage of their journey, and it's an excellent fit for them. So I wouldn't say that this is like our predominant driver. This is just something that we believe is such a complement to everything else that we're doing. But I will say that the best kind of praise we've gotten is actually on our video tutorials and our implementation guide, because I believed that I didn't want it to just end with a drop-down download. I really wanted it to feel like they were getting some support. So I actually walk everybody through, it's my voice, my little floating head, every contract template, and kind of give them some tips on how to implement it into their business, how to go in and fill it out. And then we have an implementation guide on the back end that gives tips on, you know, how to get it signed, you know, how to put it in the footer of your website, all of the little details of, okay, great, I've got this template done. Now what? because I wanted to bring down the barriers of actually getting them to use what they had invested in.
It's a great differentiator because so many times you'll get a template and that's all it is. It's a fillable PDF.
Right.
And it absolutely can serve a need and you'll be useful, but sometimes you have to work very hard at it to make it so.
Yeah.
The video tutorial and the implementation guide that goes along with each of your products, I think is a brilliant touch and really makes it easy to consume and use these products. And look, quite frankly, as you said, this may be where they are from a price point perspective now, but hopefully with the use of these products, their entrepreneurial business is going to take off such that they're going to be able to use you or call on the other aspects of your law firm.
Absolutely. We really do work on all of our offerings being part of the overall customer journey. And, you know, we really do want to bring them into our community from the very start. There's no shame.
Very aligned.
Mm-hmm. No pun intended.
No pun intended. It is very legally aligned with what you do.
Yeah, it's been beautiful. What we've wanted to do is allow people to come in and meet them wherever they're at. Yeah. If they are, you know, just consuming our tips on Instagram, wonderful. If they're joining our Q&A sessions on Clubhouse, excellent. If they're a loyal listener of the podcast, great. And I feel like it's breaking down the barrier that all this legal stuff that we talk about, mm-hmm. it has to be over their head and has to be complicated. Instead, we talk a lot about mindset and empowerment and advocating for themselves. And I think that those are all themes that are, you know, so applicable across the entrepreneurship space as a whole.
Well, let's finish up by plugging that podcast. Tell our audience where they can find it.
So you can find us on all of the podcasting platforms, and we are actually doing a little shakeup. So we previously launched under Legally Aligned, and we are now going to be going into The Lauren Boyd Show. So by the time this airs, all our rebranding, which is beautiful, will be in full effect. And we did this because we just wanted to honor the different seasons of life and entrepreneurship and have really no boundaries on, you know, what our conversation. Of course, we still keep the topics, you know, we got some legal, we've got some entrepreneurship, but we're talking more about life too, because I think if we build our businesses from around our lives, everything is a lot more successful that way.
Well, I'm sure to be adding the Lauren Boyd Show to my podcast schedule here in the very near future. Lauren, tell our audience how else I may reach out to you to follow up on anything you had to share with us today.
So the other way you can reach out to us is, of course, connect with us on Instagram at the Lauren Boyd. And you can also text us to the number 602-755-1955. And you're going to text the keyword abundantly. I'll give you all of that information so you can include it in the show notes as well. But we really just come from a place of service. And so we're just trying to infuse a little bit of inspiration and some tips that we love into the everyday.
Awesome. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. I've learned an awful lot, and I clearly can find my next affiliate agreement format template if I need it. So thank you so much, Lauren, for being a guest today on The Law Entrepreneur, and I look forward to staying in touch with you.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, there you have it, Law Entrepreneurs. Thanks for being with us today and with this episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors, as usual, Ruby Receptionists, Daylight, and Spotlight Branding. Make sure you swing on by our website at thelawentrepreneur.com or visit our Facebook page or Twitter account. You can find us anywhere by just searching on The Law Entrepreneur. Also, if you'd be kind enough, I'd love it if you could go to your podcast application and leave us a rating and a review. It helps with our visibility and it helps ensure that we're there to be found when people come looking for podcasts in the legal space. So once again, thanks for being a part of today's episode of The Law Entrepreneur.